Hey everyone, this is Buzzer Beaters, an NBA-specific podcast brought to you by grumblingsmedia.com. It's not necessarily just going to be NBA. We're going to dibble and dabble a little bit in NCAA. We might dibble and dabble into some other basketball type of games, but it's primarily an NBA-centric podcast. So where you could find us is actually on grumblingsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Grumblings Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, and Apple. So the format of our show is that both Anthony and I, so I'm Eddie Aparicio, and this is Anthony Tuan Corral. This is the third show of our Buzzer Beaters segment. And what we do is we each pick two topics each week, and then we host those topics. So the two topics I plan to talk about is, one is the NBA playoffs. It's here, right? We talked about the NBA playoffs last week, but the difference is now we know where the seedings are, and actually things moved around from the last time. So we're going to go through each matchup, and I think, you know, a little game between me and Tuan here. I'm going to go ahead and tell you who I think is going to win each matchup, and by the game, actually, you know, in five and six or seven four, right? And then you know, we're gonna keep track of this, you know, as the series go, right? But right, you know, I wanted to do it through, you know, we wanted to go ahead and make our predictions now, you know, from the very beginning of the outset of the playoffs until the very end, and then, you know, as we pick the matches, we're gonna talk about why we think this is gonna happen, you know, who are the dark horses. We talked a little bit about that last week, but that's what we're gonna talk about in the first 15 minutes. And I mentioned we're going to pick two topics each. The intent is to go ahead and spend 15 minutes on each topic. And then the intent is to have this as an hour show, right? We might go a little bit above. We might go a little bit below. So the first one is the NBA playoff outlook. The second thing is something, you know, we had a test show, you know, before this became a podcast for you guys. And we wanted to go ahead and bring, you know, the same topic that we talked about in the test show. And that is, let's just say we were going to go ahead and be, you know, a make-believe GM in the NBA. And we wanted to go ahead and pick, without any salary caps, right, in the question, we're going to go ahead and pick our top five starting players, you know, to win now and the next 5 years, and then two bench players that come off the bench to, you know, help those starters, you know, when they need a breather. So we're going to go ahead and go into that. I'm going to pick my team. Tuan's going to pick his team. And then the third topic and fourth topic are going to be brought to you by Tuan. So Tuan, go ahead and tell us what you want to talk about in those third and fourth topics.
Absolutely. So piggybacking off of Eddie's statement about our test show, I also had a topic on the test show, and that was, how much do rings factor into a team, into a player's greatness? Obviously, we have a lot of arguments. You know, Jordan, LeBron, some people will say Kareem or other players. You know, I'm a big, I'm not a Laker fan, as my friends would know, but I think Kareem deserves more credit than he's gotten in the past, which is really the nucleus of why I picked this topic. And so me and Ed are going to go back and forth a little bit. We're going to talk about how many players have rings. What do those rings mean? How do they contribute to that player's greatness? So that, looking forward to that. My other topic is something that's close to heart in many conversations that Eddie and I have had over lunch. And that is, are we in the LeBron era or are we in the Curry era? Now, I know there's a lot of LeBron fans out there and, you know, just going to have that discussion. You know, they've had head-to-head competitions. LeBron's been in the league a little longer than Curry. What does that mean if LeBron leaves the league? I mean, when he retires and Curry plays another couple of years and he begins to maybe get closer to some of those other numbers that LeBron has, does that change people's opinions or not? So I wanted to kind of do a deep dive on that conversation, you know, kind of go over some of those numbers and talk about, is this the LeBron era or is it the Curry era? You know, because Curry's had a big impact in LeBron's career.
Yep. Hey, it's a great topic, and it's polarizing, right? Because
it is,
you know, we know how much the NBA and ESPN and all these outlets, they love LeBron James.
They do.
And rightfully so. The guy is a tremendous player, but he's kind of polarizing as a person. Yeah, I mean, he's a good guy, But just the way he plays, right? I mean, not the way he plays, just the way he carries himself sometimes, right? He's polarizing. And I think it all happened from that decision kind of thing, right? So it's a good topic. You know, you can argue that both are equally as popular right now. Although William believes that if you were to ask somebody in Panama who doesn't know anything about basketball, who if they know about LeBron James, they're going to say they know LeBron James and not going to know anything about Steph Curry. I don't agree with that. Steph Curry is global as LeBron is, honestly. So anyway, good topic. So let's go ahead and jump right into the NBA playoffs. So last week, you know, there was a lot, you know, a lot of movement. The seedings were different last week. And, you know, this last the last two games of the regular season saw a lot of movement. It happened a lot in the West and definitely in the East as well. So let's go ahead and go through the East first. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, for the West, you know, we already know the Lakers won already, right? So we already know they're the seventh seed. And we'll get to that, you know, when we get to the West. But let's go ahead and talk about the East because those games have not started yet. And I think I know, you know, what you're going to pick as far as the play-in guys. So you already stated this last week, and I'm not going to, you know, let's not change that. So you're going to believe that the Sixers are going to beat the Heat, right? Yes. And then you're going to think the Heat are going to beat the either the winner of the Bulls or the Hawks. Is that what you thought?
Yes, I believe both of them will be in. So Sixers will be the seventh seed, and the Heat will be the eighth seed, which is what they are right now.
Right. Okay. Yep. So let's go ahead and pick. Let's go down the list. Let's go from Boston versus Miami. Go ahead and pick who you think's going to win and in how many games.
All right. Well, Celtics Heat, that's a repeat of, not in this round, but a repeat of last year's, I think it was the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Heat ended up beating the Celtics.
Yep.
Man, that, all right, so, the Heat, I never want to doubt the Heat, because they always play above their weight level. They just always play above their weight level, but I think the Celtics are going to win. I think it's going to be a tough match. I think it's going to be in seven games. I think it's going to be 4-3 with them each winning one game at the other person's house. So the Celtics will win three of four at home with one in Miami, and Miami will win two at home and one in. So I think it's going to go. I think it's going to go seven, and I think the Celtics are going to win that game. Let me pause there and see if. Get your feedback on that.
I'm going to agree with you on this, but I'm going to say that the Celtics beat the Heat in five. So I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on the same winner, but I'm going to say five games. And, you know, what we're going to do is, you know, a little game. I'm going to keep track of all this.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like, you know, you get a point for getting the team right. And then you're going to get an additional point if you get the you know, whoever's between us gets the closest to, you know, the winning, you know, the amount of games. And if it's tied, oh well, right? But I'll figure out, like, you know, the games, how we get. But there's going to be an additional point if we get the game.
Okay, that sounds good. We can talk about that next week.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so what about the Cavs and Magic? What do you see?
Oh, this one's – do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
No, you go first, man. I'll go second.
This one's easy for me. Cavs win in six, 4-2 over the Magic. Magic are too young. They're still coming up. Maybe in a couple of years they'll be a little more competitive, but I think it'll be a 4-2 Cavaliers favor.
Yeah, you know, the Cavs, they're a sneaky team, man. I mean, you know, Donovan Mitchell is a freaking player, man. I mean, he is. And then you got Darius Garland, who, you know, broke his jaw in the middle of the season, and, you know, he missed quite a bit of games, and, you know, but that backcourt is pretty deadly, man. And then Yeah, Winston Garland, exactly, former Warrior, right. So then you have Jared Allen, you know, he's a good big. You got Evan Mobley, you know, they're just a versatile team. So they're definitely a scary team, but they're kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde a little bit sometimes, right? They're on and off, right? So I'm going to agree with you on that. I'm also going to pick the Cavs, and I'm going to go ahead and say the same amount of games, man, because I think you got your spot on. I think it's going to be in six. So I'm going to say Cavs in six. All right, so what about Bucks and Pacers, man. Bucks and Pacers.
All right. If you've been following me the last couple of shows, you know that I think Indiana's my dark horse, and I'm not going to stray away from them. I think Indiana gets the upset here, and I think Indiana wins in six games.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, they are kind of a matchup problem for the Bucks only because of how fast they play.
Yep.
You know, they're a high-paced team, and the Bucks kind of are kind of a slow-paced team. But, you know, the thing is we don't know how well the Bucks play without Giannis Antetokounmpo. And it was just, you know, there was just some a news release today that, you know, Giannis is probably not going to be available for at least the first part of the series and may not be available, you know, till the latter part of the series, but that's no guarantee. So yeah, that tells me that Giannis is probably going to miss this series. And I think he's only going to come in if, you know, the Bucks are in dire need and they need something, right? The Bucks are still a very, very, you know, they're a formidable team, man, without Giannis still. I mean, they have a good squad, man. I mean, you know, you got Damian Lillard, you got Bobby Portis now. You know, once he comes out of the six man role, now he's in the starting lineup and he's the scorer, right? You got Brook Lopez, very good defender. You know, he totally changed his whole career, man. He used to be like a low post threat. Now he's an outside threat. He's a 3-and-D type guy, right? You know, and you have Chris Middleton. You know, he's in and out of the line because he's, you know, been hurt, but they still have a decent squad, man. So I'm a little torn on this one. I can see why you picked the Pacers, but I'm going to pick the Bucks on this one, man. I'm going to pick the Bucks, and I'm going to say the Bucks in seven. All right.
All right. This is where we start making our points here between you and me.
Exactly. All right. So let's go to the next one. We got the Knicks and Sixers. What do you say on the Knicks?
So I've said in the past how much the Knicks are like the Missouri State, right? Prove it to me. Show it to me. The Knicks have always got a lot of hype. They're a good squad. You've been high on them, you know, for quite some time. You think they're going to do some damage. Embiid just got back. I'm going to go with the upset, though. I think the Sixers beat the Knicks in seven.
Wow.
In seven, yeah.
Wow. And is it because of the Embiid effect? Is that primarily the reason why you say that? Is because of the Embiid effect?
You know, call me biased or call me whatever. The Knicks have been hyped up many times, and they, as an organization, they have not met the hype. Like, there's so much that comes up. So I need to see them, you know, if they win, I'm going to assume that we're going to stop at this round and then next week we'll do our predictions for the next round and then so on and so forth so that we can kind of work.
We're going to pick it out right now, man.
All right.
We're doing it all the way through right now, man.
Well, so, like I said, that's where I'm at. I think the Knicks got a solid squad. I like Brunson a lot. So he may be the factor, but yes, I think Embiid, the difference maker is going to be Embiid in that series.
All right, he's
an MVP player. He was going towards an MVP until he got hurt and didn't make the games necessary. So we'll see. But yeah, I think Embiid's the factor.
He definitely is the factor. I mean, you can see how important that guy is to that team. I mean, they were like the 3 seed, and then they fell all the way down to the 7 seed, right? Because, you know, he just missed he missed the game when they played against the Warriors when Jonathan Kuminga fell on his knee. And that's what hyperextended his knee. Got, you know, so we can see how valuable Embiid is, right? But the thing is that the Knicks, man, they are a very defensive-minded team, man. They're showing me something. Jalen Brunson, man, is a problem, man.
He is a problem.
Nobody,
I agree.
Nobody can guard that guy right now.
How badly did Dallas screw that up?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine Dallas having him and Luka, Brunson and Luka in the backcourt? Jeez, man. I mean,
Cuban pays everyone, but he didn't pay Brunson.
Oh, my God. But they're gritty, man. I mean, Josh Hart. Remember, I told you about Josh Hart years ago, man. I love that kid, man. Out of Villanova when he was on the Lakers. I'm like, dude, that guy would be perfect for the Warriors. You know, he's a perfect type of guy for the Warriors. And he fits in like a glove with this team, man. He's doing triple-doubles left and right now, where he had never even sniffed that when he's on the Pelicans, nor the Lakers. So, I'm just telling you, the Knicks are my pick. They're the dark horse. I told you guys this last week. Knicks are my dark horse. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Knicks, but I'm going to go ahead and put it in seven just because, you know, Embiid is a beast and, you know, he's going to be a problem. You know, they have Mitchell Robinson who could probably contain him a little bit. And you got Isaiah Hartenstein, who's the other big on New York, who's actually pretty versatile too. They have two big guys that they can throw to, you know, to Embiid and kind of slow him down a little bit. So that's why I think that they're just a more versatile team than people think. The Knicks are in seven.
Keep in mind, though, Eddie, given their records, the Knicks only have 3 more wins than the Sixers have. Even as bad as it's a 2-7 matchup, you know, with as much time as Embiid missed, I'm just pointing that out that, you know, they only got three more victories.
I got you, man. I got you. Yeah. And, you know, but the Knicks also have lost Julius Randle for a big part of the year. So I think they've adjusted pretty well without him. And now they have, I think that because of that time lost, they figured out and formulated a different type of mindset as a team. I think they're just, they're really good right now. And when they bring Julius Randle this team next year, man, okay. And whatever offseason moves these guys do, this is a team to watch, man. I'm telling you right now, man. Knicks are a team to watch. So, all right. So let's keep going to the East, man. So now okay. you have the Celtics versus the Cavs. What do you have there as far as game? Who's going to win and in how many games?
Celtics and Cavs. I'm going to go Celtics. I had them going 7 against the Heat, correct?
You had them 7 going against the Heat.
Yep. I'm
going
to go Celtics in 6.
All right. I'm also going to go ahead and say the Celtics for sure. And I'm going to go ahead and say that they're going to do it in 6 as well. So I think you're right on that one. So I think you're right on the Celtics. All right. So what about you picked the Pacers and the you Sixers. Picked the Sixers. So correct. Pacers versus Sixers.
Yep.
What you got, man?
I got and the this Pacers is where we in totally 7.
Deviate. You're going to say Pacers in 7.
Yep.
Dang, man.
I'm either going to be a fool or Nostradamus here.
Man, they remind you of Run TMCs why you like them so much, man. That's why.
Man. I like them. I like the Pacers. I like the squad, man.
Yeah, and you think Tim Hardaway's out there with Mitch Richmond and Sarunas.
Hell yeah. You know it right here, man. Right here.
Run TMC.
Hell yeah. I like Halliburton, man. He's got that funky shot. I like him.
Dude, that is a funky shot, man.
It is.
Funkier. Hey, Twan, that's funkier than your shot, bro.
Oh, come on now. Don't mess with my knuckleball, bro. Don't mess with my knuckleball.
Dude, this guy had a knuckleball. He had the Tim Hardaway knuckleball shot, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right.
No
so,
rotations, but right in.
All right, man. So, okay, this is where we completely deviate. This is where we're going to separate each other.
Yep.
So I'm picking, it's Bucks versus Knicks. I'm picking the Knicks. And I'm going to go ahead and pick the Knicks in 7 again, man. So Knicks in 7. All right. So now here we go. Now we go to the point where almost this is now going to be the Eastern Conference final representatives. So we have the Celtics versus the Pacers.
Correct.
What do you say, man?
I think that's the end of the road for the Pacers. And I think they're going to be worn down because they're playing some heavy duty teams. They're going long. I got them going a couple of long series. I think they're going to lose to the Celtics in 6.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and say the Celts in 5.
Against the Knicks.
Right. Yes, against
the Knicks. I got more faith in my Pacers than you got in your Knicks.
well, the thing is, it's a matchup issue, man.
It is.
It's a matchup issue.
It is.
The Boston Celtics are a matchup problem, I think, for the Knicks. They're just way too versatile, man. The only thing that can stop the Celtics is themselves. You know, they can get bored. They're kind of like the Warriors were, man, when the Warriors were good. They just get bored sometimes. They're, like, so good. They know they can just turn it on and off when they were, you know, we were talking about the on and off thing that they tend to do, right? And you're saying, you know, they haven't won anything, so they shouldn't be doing that. And I get it, man. But, you know, they know how uber talented they are. They know how deep they are, man. And I just think they're a matchup problem. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Celtics in 5.
I think if the Celtics are going to hit the bump in the road, it's going to happen right in that first series, that Heat-Celtics. I think that's going to be their most intense risk.
All right. So that's it. We got the Celts going in the finals there. That's the Celts. All right. So now we're going to the West.
All right. The West.
West.
The Wild Wild West.
Yep. We already know the Lakers have advanced, right? So the Lakers are going to be playing the Thunder. Or excuse me. No, sorry about that. The Lakers are playing the Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
Yeah, that's right. So,
what did the Lakers do? What did the Lakers do? They picked the one opponent.
Yep. Okay, so now that brings us to we already know the Lakers are in, so we can't pick that one. Okay, what say you about, you know, the Warrior game's going on right now against the Kings, and they're not, you know, they were down, I think, by, let me see what the game is right now. They're down by 4 right now, bro. All right, the Lakers, the Warriors are down by 4. So, that's the last update I'm going to give you for right now, right? All right, so the Kings. And the Warriors, who do you say wins that game?
Warriors.
I do too. So I'm going to pick the Warriors as well. All right. So then that go ahead. Now that says the Warriors are going to play the Pelicans now. So who advances there? This is for the rights to go ahead and
play. I got a caveat here. Got a caveat. A little asterisk I'm going to throw up there. So Zion left that game late. with some sort of injury. I don't know what the injury was.
Correct.
Zion left with some sort of injury. If Zion does not play, the Warriors win. If Zion plays and is healthy, the Pelicans win.
Okay. I you know what? I'm going to be a homer on this one, bro. I don't care if Zion plays or not. The Warriors were right there with them last game, and the Warriors played like jack crap in the second quarter, man.
I agree.
And unfortunately, they have a tendency to do that. But even with that really bad quarter, they were still there at the end, man. They almost they had a chance to fucking to pull that out, man. So I think their experience is going to be the difference. New Orleans, I think, is an up and coming team. You got to watch out for these guys, man. They got a lot of talent on that team, and Brandon Ingram hasn't played quite a bit in the last few weeks. Just
because they didn't even put him in. Right? I don't think he played in the fourth quarter at all.
He didn't even play in the fourth quarter. So you got to wonder what's going on there. What's Willie Green doing there, man?
Yeah.
What's he doing? Anyway, he has his reasons. It probably might be a defensive reason that why he put him in there. But, you know, I think, you know, in the end, I think he probably saw that they were just running out of gas and Lakers had him and they have another shot against the winner of the Warriors versus the Kings. And we're saying the Warriors. So we're going to go ahead and say, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Warriors. You have to pick, man.
That's fine. I'm gonna just assume that Zion is going to be compromised some way, shape, or form. He's going to either play limited or he's not going to play at all. So I'm going to take the Warriors. Back to your point, though, I will tell you this: the reason I worry about Zion is you're right. The Warriors played like crap, but so did Zion. Zion did hardly anything on the offensive end.
Well, it's because Draymond Green, man. Draymond Green's a good defender, man.
Yeah, but Zion surprised me on the defensive end. He held his own. He had some steals. He was playing tough. So, again, I'm going to go with the Warriors. But if Zion is healthy, just to counter your point about the Warriors playing, because the Warriors won every quarter except the second quarter. They won every quarter. And the Warriors, as maddening as it is, they always have a quarter like that. Like every game since I can remember in the Curry era, they're going to go and have like all these turnovers, balls they're giving away as though it doesn't matter. And I think that you're asking a lot of the Warriors to be protective of the ball for the whole game. I think that they'll have a slip here and there where they're going to be turnover prone. But again, that's with Zion in, but I'm going to go with you. I'm saying Zion's not playing. I'm going Warriors.
You're saying Warriors. All right. So now that brings us to the first round of the playoffs.
Yes.
That puts the Thunder versus the Warriors. Go ahead and pick.
All right. So for all my hooting and polluting here, so the Warriors were very good on the road.
Yes.
So I think you know where I'm headed here. I think the Warriors win in seven against the Thunder.
And you know what? We're both homers, bro. Come on,
we
man.
We are homers.
San Francisco, man.
We are homers.
We're Warrior fans through and through, man. We know what this team's made up of. And as up and down as they have been this season, man, they still have, man, they have one, two, three, four Hall of Famers on that team, man. Four Hall of Famers on that team. So that means something, man. The only thing that gets in the way of the Warriors is themselves. And if they can just limit their turnovers, which is asking a lot, man. It's their motion offense, man. It's just kind of the byproduct of their motion offense. They're going to turn the ball over. But if they can limit that, man, I think that they're going to be a problem. And I think this is the best matchup for them.
I think so, too.
You know, the Thunder. Because they're young. They're hella good, though. They remind me a lot of the Warriors of 2015, honestly.
Yeah.
Even though the composition is different, they're not made up the same. They're not, you know, not based on shooting. They're just a hardworking, a good team, man. So I like the Thunder a lot. And they got uber draft picks galore to come, man. So this team is going to be good for a while, man. So, all right. So, but not this year, man. I think the Warriors are going to take them out, too. So
Warriors do, too.
All right. So what about Clippers and Mavs, man?
Well, so I've been kind of have my ear to the grindstone here a little bit, and I heard Kawhi's hurt. I heard they may even announce that he may not be available for a portion of this series. Don't know if it's true, but I've been looking. Kawhi's injury prone.
Right.
So, again, I'm not no caveats. I know that I'm keep making these caveats. I think Kawhi doesn't play, and I think the Mavericks win that series, but I think they win in seven.
Okay, you say Mavs in seven?
Yeah.
You know, Mavs are already my dark horse, bro.
Yep.
All right? I'm going to say
Mavs. But you love the Clippers because you – I mean, I want to say you love the Clippers. You love Kawhi.
I love Kawhi. Yes. But, dude, the Mavs are a hot team right now. You know, they're a problem. And, you know, that trade with P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford, that's changed that team, man, big time. They're a problem, man, and they scare me a lot. So I'm picking the Mavs in six. You're saying seven. I say six. Wolves and Sun. What do you say, man? Wolves.
You know me. The Wolves have been my dark horse. I actually, you know, sneak preview. I think they may come out of this, you know, out of these playoffs as the West representative in the finals. I got to go through it all right now, but so I'm thinking the Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves. See, if it goes seven, the Suns are going to win. So I think the Timberwolves in six.
Okay. You know what? Man, the Suns scare me too, man. But the Wolves are so, you know, and they're going to have Karl Anthony Towns now. So, and, you know, but the thing is they have to reintegrate him a little bit because they've been playing without him for quite some time. And, you know, anytime, as good as Karl Anthony Towns is, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, talk about him taking bad shots for a big guy, right? But he's still uber talented, man. I'm with you, man. I think the Wolves are a better team. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to say seven. You said six. I'm going to say seven.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I think if it goes seven, though, Ed, the Suns win.
I hear you.
I think the Wolves got to win it in six.
I hear you. But the Wolves are way better than everybody thought. And who thought early in the year, remember when the Warriors played against the Wolves back-to-back and the Wolves took out the Warriors? We're like, come on, why are we losing the Wolves, man? Yeah. Turns out these guys turned out to be hella good, man. No. So, now let's go to the Nuggets and Lakers.
Oh,
bad matchup for the Lakers, man. But
bad matchup. I don't want to destroy the Lakers, so I'll say the Nuggets in six, but I think it might be the Nuggets in five. But okay, I'll go six.
Five or six.
Six. I'll stick with six.
Okay. I'm going to say Nuggets in five, man, because that's a bad matchup for the Lakers.
Yeah. Anthony Davis is their whole team. For the Lakers, and he's going to be neutralized with Jokic. Not that Jokic plays great defense, but he's going to have to expel a lot of energy on the defensive end. And Jokic is just going to assist him to death. And then when he wants to get in those funky low post little moves that he does, it is a problem. It's a bad matchup for them.
All right. So now that takes us now to we have the for you, Warriors versus the Mavs.
Warriors and Mavs. Man, my homerism can only go so far, man. I can't, the little kid in me is like, the Warriors could do it. But I think the Mavericks take that in six.
Okay.
I don't think it'll go seven.
You know what? I'm going to be the homer, bro. I'm going to say the Warriors in seven.
Hey, I'm not hating you for that, Eddie. I hope you're right. I hope I lose seven, this contest then.
I'm going to say the Warriors in seven, man. And, you know, that could seal my fate with that pick, but I don't care, man. I got to follow my team, man. And they're dangerous. But, you know, it could all be for naught if they lose tonight, right? So my whole bracket could be screwed. Anyway,
yep.
All right, so what about the Wolves versus the Nuggets? Great matchup, man. Great
matchup. Damn. And I kept a close eye on that game they played a couple of nights ago where the Wolves were in it all the way until – like the last couple of minutes, and they ended up losing by like 15, 16 points. I mean, it was like a smoke job at the end. But as you mentioned, they'll have Karl Anthony Towns back.
Yep.
I'm going to stick with my dark horse, and I'm going to say the Nuggets in seven. I mean, the Timberwolves in seven.
Timberwolves in seven. I'm saying Nuggets in six.
All right.
Yep. So that brings us now to the –
for me, Mavs.
The Mavs versus the Wolves.
Yes.
To go to the finals.
Correct.
Who do you have?
I got the Timberwolves in six.
Wow. Okay, so you have the Wolves versus the Celtics as the finals. This is where I think my homerism ends too, man. I think
the Nuggets. Here you are telling me I got to stick with my team. Next round,
But the Nuggets are a problem, man, for everybody.
Nuggets are a problem.
I mean, Jokic is a problem, dude. And you know what? And I thought they were going to lose out a lot because of them losing, you know, Bruce Brown, you know, Jeff Green. I mean, those two guys were good freaking contributors on the bench side of the Nuggets. And then I'm thinking, well, man, what do they have left, man? Christian Brown and who else, man? You know, at that point, I'm like, oh, Zeke Nagy? Who else, man? Anyway, they figured it out, man. They got this Peyton was it Peyton Watson from UCLA? He's been playing pretty well. Yep. And then you got Christian Brown. He's come out of nowhere. So they've shored up their rotation with those two guys just stepping up. So
dude, and Aaron Gordon from Mitty, right? I think he's from Mitty.
He's from Mitty.
Aaron Gordon, like he went from someone that was like, slam dunk champion. He's like the man on that squad. Or like A-Man, he's like one of the key components on there, and he's been playing well. The Nuggets are a solid, solid squad.
Absolutely. All right, man. So then this is champions. It. This is our last. This is the last pick for me. Oh, now it's. We're gonna finish this, man. All right. Yeah. I'm gonna keep track of this. And for those of you who are listening, you guys want to go ahead and post your winners in the comments section. Great. Let's go ahead and do it, man. Yeah.
We'll keep jump track all over me. Go have at it.
But anyway, so okay, Wolves versus Celtics. What you got, man?
Well, I think here's where it runs out for my dark horse. And I think the Celtics finally get over the hump. I think the Celtics win in six over the Wolves.
And I'm going to say the Celtics in six, too.
The Nuggets.
Over the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the Celtics, this is their year, man. I mean, the Nuggets, as good as they are, man, I think the Celtics will beat them, man. They're just deeper and versatile, more versatile. And I think that's going to be the difference. You got, Kristaps Porzingis, I think he can defend Jokic to a degree, right? Then you got Al Horford who can kind of pester him a little bit. So they have guys that they can throw at him, man. So that's why I'm picking the Celtics in six.
Dude, people talk talk about LeBron's old. How old is Al Horford? Dang.
I think
that homie is up there.
38. I think he's 38 or 39. I'm not sure. He's up there with LeBron, though. He's one of the older players in the league for sure.
Yeah, he's going
to. So, yeah, old man Horford.
Robert Parrish 2.0, bro.
You know he's a Latino, right? Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you know Karl Anthony Towns is also a Latino?
No, where's he from? I didn't know that.
They're both Dominicano. They're Dominicano, man. There's a few Latinos in the NBA, man.
There's a couple.
Would have never thought, man. So all right, that's it, man. So that's the first segment of what I wanted to talk about. We're gonna move on to the next segment that the thing that was in the test show. So, I wanted to play fantasy, I play fantasy sports but we have the All-Star game, for the NBA, and that's usually East versus West. And, they've had team captains in the past and they pick players, to make up their squad. I wanted to go ahead and say, if you were a GM, Tuan, and I was a GM, who would we pick as our starting five? And who would we have as two bench players that come off the bench to substitute for these starters? So I'm going to go ahead and tell you who I picked. All right. So my point guard.
Before you start, Ed, 1 second. So one little caveat. I don't know if you called it out and I missed it, but we're talking about a dominant team for the next 5 years.
Now for the next 5 years.
I think it's important to call that out.
Yes, you're right. And I did say that in the beginning, but I didn't reiterate it. So you're right. Thanks for stopping me on that. But yes, picking a starting five with the bench warmers. People coming off the bench, and then they're going to substitute for these starting five. But this is based on players now for the next 5 years. That kind of rules out some of these guys that we probably would have picked, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we know that LeBron is he's almost 50, man. He's not 50, but he's going to be 40 next year, right? Steph Curry's almost there as well. He's almost 40. You got, Kawhi Leonard, who's up there, right? So you got Paul George, who's up there. You have all these guys that are older that, you would definitely think about putting them on the squad just because of how good they are. And, but the thing is, I'm talking about now and the next 5 years.
Yep.
So, all right. So here's who I pick. My point guard.
Yes.
Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
One of the biggest matchup nightmares in the NBA. A walking triple-double, right? This guy is a machine. And we talked about the triple-double thing last week about, where he's at. He's probably one of the guys that's going to be, coming close to beating, Russell Westbrook as far as triple-doubles.
Or Jokic, if Jokic beats him there.
It's either Jokic or Luka, right? And Luka's, I think, 2 or 3 years younger than Jokic. So, as long as there's no injuries, I think he might beat him. All right, so shooting guard, I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
This dude is a defensive beast and is probably going to be close. He's probably going to come second this year, in my opinion, in the MVP. I think Jokic is going to win the MVP this year. I think it'll be his third. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think, is going to come in second in the voting because that guy is just so good. But the thing is, he's in a small market. He's not very well known. I mean, he's starting to get known. He's got this little commercial with him and Chet Holmgren doing some song. I don't know if you saw, but you know, he's got some swag. He's a really smooth player, man. He can get to his spot and shoot wherever. He's not really a 3-point shooter. He's just one of these smooth kind of, you know, can get anywhere he wants. He's got great dribbling ability. He's long and he's a great defender, man. So I have him as my two guard, my shooting guard. Even though he's not really a shooting guard, he's just a good overall defender. That's why I have him there. My small forward, I have is Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. Okay. Jason Tatum is long, versatile. I mean, the guy plays like a guard. He can shoot like a guard. He can guard like a forward. You know, he's just a matchup nightmare no matter where you put him. And he plays both sides of the ball very well. The only thing about Jason sometimes, in my opinion, is that he hasn't shown me yet that he has that, like, that factor of like, I'm gonna dominate you, kind of like, you know, I'm gonna take you over, right? You know, kind of like the Kobe Bryant kind of like drive, right? And Jordan, he doesn't have that, but not many players in the NBA really ever have that. But that's my only knock on Jason Tatum is that, you know, he's still a young guy and he's still evolving. But if he just gets that killer instinct in him, and this guy would be freaking unstoppable. He already is, but he would be even worse, right? So Jason Tatum is my small forward. My power forward is Giannis Antetokounmpo. We all know how this guy is a unbelievable two-way player, probably the best two-way player we have in the NBA right now. I mean, he is elite on both sides of the ball, and he's ultra long, ultra athletic, and he just plays bully ball, man. He just runs you over, right? You know, nobody can stop him. He's like a freight train, man. When he starts rolling, you know, he starts coming downhill on a fast break, nobody wants to get in front of him. Kind of like the LeBron effect. Nobody wants to get in front of LeBron. LeBron's just a big old freaking freight train. This guy's a freight train, but he's just leaner and longer. So Giannis Antetokounmpo is my pick for power forward. And my last guy for the starting five is I was going to pick Nikola Jokic because you know how much I love him, right? But I didn't pick him. I already have a defensive liability in Luka Doncic. I did not need another defensive liability in picking Nikola Jokic as my center. So I went the defensive route, and I picked somebody who I think is going to be a perennial all-star. I think he's going to be a transcendent player. I think he's going to be a record book kind of guy. He's already in the record books right now for having the type of games he's been having with the amount of steals, blocks, and points, and all this stuff. Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, I think San Antonio understands what they got in him. They're going to have to build a squad around this kid because this guy is freaking ultra, ultra good. He's unbelievable. He's a unicorn. He's Kevin Durant 2.0, in my opinion. You know, he's got every skill that Kevin Durant does. It's just that he's younger. He's a little, I mean, he's definitely a lot taller, but he needs to refine his dribbling a little bit more because Kevin Durant could dribble very well. And Kevin Durant could shoot very, very well, but this guy could shoot too, but not as much off the dribble as Kevin Durant can. So I think that's the next evolution of Victor Wembanyama. I think that's he's a beast, man. I mean, he can guard anybody in the NBA. He might even be Defensive Player of the Year. You never know. I mean, he's going to be Rookie of the Year, no question. He could be Defensive Player of the Year as well. So that's how good this guy is, right? So now my last two picks are the bench guys, all right? Yep. So the bench guys I picked are Nikola Jokic. Someone's got to sub in for Victor Wembanyama. Yep. And the guy that I picked to go ahead and accompany Nikola Jokic is his teammate Jamal Murray. I mean, Jamal Murray is a very good shooter, decent defender. He's a bigger guy. And that's the reason why I picked him is because they have some chemistry already, you know, and all these other guys that I picked, they don't play with each other very well. So I wanted to go ahead and pick two guys that play well with each other, and they're both young and poised to be good for the next 5 years. So that's my squad, man.
All right.
Let me know what you think, or just give me your team.
Well, I like your squad. Mine's is close. It's similar. I got a couple of tweaks and a couple of differences than your squad. So I'm gonna go. So you and I agree on our point, Luka. Luka's gonna be the point. He's the man for now. The man 5 years from now, he's going to be the guy. For my two, although I'm gonna be a little more positionless, for my two, I'm going with Anthony Edwards. I think Anthony Edwards is where you pick Shai, I'm going Anthony Edwards. I think that dude is a good balance between offense and defense. He's a monster. I think he's got that Timberwolves team humming. he's, you know, they're my dark horse, and he's a big part of why they're my dark horse. He's got the right kind of mentality. He's a tough guy. I like the way he plays. He plays aggressively to the hole. He can shoot, you know, here and there. Not a super great shooter, but he's getting there. So that's the first difference that I have. For my three, I also have Jason Tatum. I'm going to go with Jason Tatum for all the reasons that you gave. I think he's a solid player. He's going to, if we're both right, he's going to be champion this year when the Celtics take the whole thing. So that'll be good. And then four, I'm also matching you with Giannis. You can't not take Giannis. I mean, the guy is a beast. He will be, you know, he's a champion. He's a solid guy. I don't want to repeat all the things that you said. And then for my five, this is where I'm going to differ from you. I am going to go with Jokic as my starting five. I think he's got the experience of a champion. Now you have two really good passers in Jokic and Luka. I think that's going to create a lot of movement. It'll free up Luka if he wants to cut, if they want to do things. So it provides a little flexibility on the offensive end. Now, my two bench guys, here's where my homerism is coming in, because I think he's going to have at least 5 years when he's coming off the bench as a spot up shooter, and that's Steph Curry. Steph Curry is going to stretch that, whoever they're playing, Steph Curry is going to stretch that defense. I don't care if Steph's 46 years old. You put him in the corner, you're going to double team him, because the dude's going to make a three. And so I'm not asking him to run the team. I'm not asking him to run the ball. I'm asking him when we need three pointers. Steph, get out there. And then my other bench guy, I flip-flopped what you did, is Victor Wembanyama.
You're going to say Klay Thompson, huh?
No. Stop. And then my other guy is Victor Wembanyama. Reason I flipped it is because Jokic is a champion. Victor Wembanyama can come in when you need defense. You can different matchups. You might want to play a twin tower scenario in some instances, you know, depending on what you need there. But I think that I gave the start to the seasoned MVP, which is Jokic, and then I got Victor learning under his tutelage, you know, all the things that he needs to learn to be a champion and a center.
Interesting, man. You know, we only really differ off two players, man. You know, you and I, the only difference is that you picked Anthony Edwards, I picked Shea. Correct. And then as my bench player, I picked, you know, I mean, we have the same players, right? If you look at the composition, you picked, you know, Wembanyama as a bench, I picked him as a starter, and I picked Jokic as a bench, and you picked Jokic as a starter. And the other guy, that the only difference is I picked Jamal Murray, and then you picked Steph Curry.
Correct.
So, you know, I would say the compositions of the teams are very similar. I would say that the reason why I picked the team that I picked is because defense wins championships, and these guys are very, very defensive-minded. All of them except for one, Luka Doncic, isn't a defensive-minded guy, but he's a matchup nightmare on the offense. But the other four guys, they are so freaking long. They're a problem. That's the only reason why I'd give that my team slight edge is because of that. You know, you have Jokic and Doncic, and those are liabilities from the defensive end. I only have one, and that's, you know, Doncic. But then, you know, the guys come off the bench. You know, I have Jamal Murray with Jokic. You know, they play together. They have chemistry. That's the reason why I did it, man. It's because they already know how to play against each other, and they're both young, and I think they're going to be positioned for the next 5 years. But I see your point in having Victor Wembanyama come off the bench along with Steph Curry, who's a matchup nightmare. You're right. I think he's probably going to play for the next 5 years. Is he going to play for the next 5 years for the Warriors? You know, I don't know. I mean, he's got a contract. We'll see. I mean, he wants to stay a Warrior. I think he will too. So, good stuff, man. I think that's
a good. I got a topic for a future show.
Okay.
I think you and I should put our heads together and see if we can come up with a team that beats our teams.
Okay. You mean like all time or right now?
No. Just the next five years. Now. But we gotta pick a team that the team we just picked has to play against.
Okay.
That we think might have a shot at beating them.
Oh, man, that's going to be tough, man.
It is going to be tough. It is going to be tough.
We can try. That's going to take us a whole another 2 weeks to figure that out, man.
I don't think it's for next show, but I want to come up with something to see who we can come up with, if anyone, that would challenge the squad we just put together.
All right, man. I like it, man. All right, so those are my two topics, Twan. So let's go ahead and go through yours. Now, we have two topics. You know, I think on time, I think we're all right. I mean, we might be a little over, like 15 minutes over, but not a big deal. But let's just go ahead and go through your two topics.
All right. Which one you want to go with first? Do you want to go with the LeBron Curry era, or do you want to go with How much do rings make champions?
Let's go ahead and do the LeBron. Yeah, let's do that one. LeBron Curry.
Let's do the LeBron. All right. Yeah. So as we've stated throughout this show, we're homers. You know, I'm a Steph fan. I'm a Warrior fan. Long suffering Warrior fan. Long before they were the Warriors of today. But you know, there was an article. I don't know where it came from, but there was an article that was talking about, you know, kind of their head to head competition. And we know that Steph and LeBron have played four times against each other, and Steph's 1-3 and LeBron's 1-1. So that came into at least for me, I thought, hey, this is an interesting topic. Let's kind of go over some of their numbers. LeBron has been in the league, I think, six more seasons than Steph has. He's played about 536 more games. That doesn't include playoff games or anything like that. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of like when it was Jordan's era, for example, it was Jordan and no one. I mean, you could argue maybe Akeem, you know, they won a couple of championships in the years that Jordan didn't play. The Houston and the Bulls never played head to head. And, you know, some people think that would have been a problem for the Bulls if they ever met, but for whatever reason, they didn't. The only competition, and they were closer, they were drafted in the same year, is Magic Bird, right? But outside of that, it's hard to find two players where they're competing for that representative. I mean, even Kobe, who was Kobe's main threat? You know, Jordan. Tracy McGrady.
Jordan. Huh? I mean, Jordan towards the end of his career. I mean, Jordan was at the end of his career, but they played against each other for a few times, man.
But
that's what we looked up to. But yeah, you're talking about aged, right?
Or we're playing each other in their prime, you know, championships and things like that.
It would be McGrady, I think.
And so this leads into kind of the other topic, which is how much do rings play a factor into this? And so I was just bringing up some stats, and I wanted to see if we could make the argument that maybe this is more Curry's era than it is LeBron's. I grabbed a couple of key stats. I'm going to run them down by you, some things that I think matter. But, you know, again, hopefully the homerism doesn't come through. But, you know, the one thing about Steph, and Eddie and I have had these conversations, is Steph does whatever he needs to do for the team to succeed. And what I mean by that is he'll put his ego away. He'll be the second. When Durant joined the Warriors, there was never, at least as a Warrior fan or internally, there was never a struggle as to whose team it is. Steph gave it to Durant. If Durant wanted it, you know, LeBron has always had to be the man in every team that he's been, whether that was by choice, by design, or circumstance. I don't want to speculate, but LeBron's always been the man. And so the first stat that we have is finals MVPs. So LeBron has the four victories that he has, he's been the MVP in each and every one. Curry has only had one, which is the last one. The first one was Andre Iguodala, who had a...
Yep.
We could argue that it should have been Steph, but Andre Iguodala guarded LeBron. He had a really good defensive series. He had a couple of good offensive games. He ended up winning that MVP. The next two years, it was Durant, both years. I mean, Durant's a beast, and he was in his prime. And like I said, Curry deferred to Durant. All right, we good? You going dark on us?
Yeah, my lights went out for a second.
Durant... He deferred to Durant. I think he let Durant do whatever Durant needed to do for them to succeed. So the first, obviously, that goes to LeBron. LeBron has three more finals MVPs. Then we look at NBA MVPs. LeBron has four. Curry has two. Of the two that Curry has, he's the only one that's ever been unanimous. So he was a unanimous MVP. I don't know how much that counts, but we'll give that edge to LeBron. LeBron has two more MVPs. They both made the 75th anniversary team. LeBron's been to 20 All-Star games. Curry's been to 10. All-Star games is a fan thing. I think LeBron has a larger following. But again, he has six more seasons than Curry. Maybe Curry gets close. Maybe those are one of the stats that whenever LeBron retires, Curry starts making headway into some of those All-Star visits. All-Star MVPs, I don't know how much these count, if they count for anything, but it's 3-1 in LeBron's favor. All-NBA teams, LeBron's made 19. Steph's made 9. You know, he's got 10 more than Steph. All NBA defensive teams, which, forgive me, but I did not know that LeBron made as many all defensive NBA teams as he did. So he's been on 6 NBA all defensive teams.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. That's something that I came across. I'm like, oh, okay. And Curry has been on none. So pretty much everything I've read to you at this point has been kind of in LeBron's favor. Here's some stuff that is in Steph's favor. Steph's been the scoring leader twice of the league. LeBron's been once. So that's in his favor. Eddie, you'll like this stat. LeBron has been the assist leader one time in the league. Steph has never been the assist leader. So that I also found fascinating, because I think that speaks to what you and I have talked about in previous shows. LeBron's best skill is his ability to pass. He is, in his heart of hearts, he's a point guard. I mean, he can do a lot of things. He's a truck. He can, you know, go down the lane when he needs to. He can score somewhat from the outside, but he's an assist guy. That's what he wants to do. That's what he lives for. So that was for him. Then we have steals leaders. Steph was a steals leader one season. So I think those kind of offset each other. Three-point leader. I mean, we don't need to discuss it. Steph's been the NBA three-point leader 8 times. LeBron's never been that. Free throw percentage. Steph has been 4-time leader. And what's funny is, I don't know if you paid attention, but on the last game, Klay shot, I think, 5 free throws, which allowed him to qualify, because he was under for qualifying for free throw percentage, and he beat Steph by like 0.3 percentage. Right. For so Klay throw? Won this year for the most, for the highest free throw percentage. Best, and Steph was second. Yeah, Steph was second. Wow. So Steph would have had 5, but he didn't get it. And then one cool little fact, Steph is the only player that to have a 50-40-90, which is 50% from 2-point field goal percentage, 40% from 3-point field goal percentage, and 90% from the free throw line. He's the only player to do that while still averaging more than 30 points a game. So I kind of just a little stat, note on man.
Did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. So to me, obviously, we talked about it. We're homers. I love Steph. I'll be frank, though. I think LeBron is the better player in terms of his accolades. The thing that I give him credit, the thing that impresses me most about LeBron is the fact that he was the man from day one. And he's lived up to that from day one. You know, how many players come out of high school, come out of college, and they get into trouble, or they're not the player that everyone thought they would be? Are you checking the game?
No.
You liar.
No. I'm not. I swear. I'm just telling John.
And anyway, so to me, the kudos I give to LeBron is because he's been a stable, consistent player throughout his career. We can have another discussion on some other topic later on about whether I think he's the greatest of all time, which I have a lot of arguments against that. But in terms of Steph and LeBron, I do give the edge to LeBron. But I think Curry is definitely a thorn in his side. And I think that he's had a huge impact. And I think you can make the argument, depending on when LeBron retires and what Steph does with those final years, that he could definitely surpass LeBron in some of those stats that I read to you. Probably not all-time scoring leader, which is LeBron is, which I didn't bring up, but I think everyone knows. So,
yeah, but your argument is that, you know, when both Steph and LeBron were in the league together, because LeBron has been in the league, you know, longer than Curry. But when Curry first came in the league in 2009, and LeBron had already been in the league, I don't know, what, 5-6 years or whatever.
Six seasons,
right? But you're saying from that point, from 6 seasons into LeBron's career to when Steph entered the league, that, you know, everybody's kind of looking at this era as the LeBron era, but you're pointing out, you know, some factors that make you kind of consider it could be also really the Steph Curry era. And in my opinion, I think this is going to be defined as the LeBron and Steph Curry era, because let's face it, man, they are today's Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, man. They are. I mean, they faced each other, you know, in multiple finals, and, you know, Curry's won 3 of them, you know, and LeBron's won 1. So 4 finals in total, they face each other. I think Bird and Magic, I don't remember how many they faced in each other. 4, it might have been the same. I'm not sure exactly how many there were, but it was one versus the other, right? Mm-hmm. And we all know that LeBron definitely admires Steph Curry, and Steph Curry vice versa admires LeBron. I mean, they both defined this era right now, right? I mean, Steph Curry changed the game. You know, he changed the game as it's played today because of the way he shoots. LeBron, you know, didn't necessarily change the game, but he is defined as the best player of this era without a doubt. And he might have even stamped his way into being the best player of all time. You and I have an argument on that. I'm not saying that that's my opinion. I'm saying that's a lot of people's opinion because of, you know, he surpassed Kareem as the greatest scorer of all time, right? When he was, when he came to this league as primarily a passing type of guy, you know, not necessarily a scoring player. So, but LeBron is just, he's unbelievable. He's a huge guy. He had this enormous pressure on him coming out of high school. And most kids at, you know, at his age, and when he was 18 or 17, whenever he first came out, man, how many kids at that age can handle that media pressure, man, and actually deliver? I mean, that's incredible. It's kind of the same thing with Victor Wembanyama right now. I mean, this guy's got the world on his shoulders, and yet he is performing at an unbelievable rate right now. So I got to say, the mental toughness of LeBron impresses me. I mean, I don't know how many kids at that age could do it, but your point is well taken. Just because of, you know, they in the times that they matched up against each other, Curry has the edge as far as championships. Yep. But as far as all the other little stats here and there, LeBron probably has the edge on some of these stats that really matter for a lot of people. But you pointed out some other things where Steph is better than LeBron. In my opinion, this is defined as the Steph and LeBron era. But I understand your point that, you know, there could be people that could argue that it is the Steph era more than LeBron.
So I've got a counter for you. Just something that kind of popped into my head. How much does teammate fall into greatness? The type of teammate you were. And the reason I ask is, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, Steph maybe had a better team. And my argument has always been the Warriors only really picked up one free agent of note ever, which was Durant. Now, that was a great player. Don't get me wrong. But
you're Steph talking about high profile. You're talking about high profile.
High profile. I mean,
Okay.
A player that's gonna win you championships. But Steph has remained his career with Draymond and with Klay, and together the three of them built something. Now, when LeBron was in Cleveland, they had Kyrie, they had Kevin Love. He could have had Andrew Wiggins. When he went over to Miami, he brought Bosch with him. He was handpicking teams to be able to do that. And to me, that takes away from your greatness, right? How much we can argue, but I think Steph has done everything with pretty much the cards that he was dealt. Now, he was dealt some pretty darn good cards. I mean, he's had some good players. You know, Lacob has been a hell of an owner, but LeBron has tried to manipulate situations so that he could get these championships. And I'm curious, in your opinion, how much do you think that matters or weighs?
A lot. Championship. I mean, this is kind of dovetailing into your next topic, right?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. So you're the last topic is about how much greatness, how much do rings factor in the greatness of an all-time great, right?
Essentially. Correct.
Right? You know, we're in a basketball generation. And I would say that that's not necessarily basketball, sports generation, where titles matter, and titles matter a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think the reason why is just because, you know, we're a culture that I think just gravitates towards winners. And, you know, these winners, they when they're on the biggest stage and they are able to perform and achieve the utmost greatest, you know, pinnacle of the sport and actually win a championship, that matters, man. That matters. You know, and so, you know, but I would say the older players, you know, that, you know, because I know we had talked about this topic before, but I'm just going to preempt it a little bit. But, you know, Bill Russell has 11, right?
He does have 11.
And he's not even talked about, right? So, but, you know, and I think it's just because a lot of it is because back then when Bill Russell was playing, there wasn't as many teams as there are now, you know, and so the pool of players for you know, these champions to compete against were a lot less back when Bill Russell.
But you mentioned that, and I want to counter that for a minute. Sure. Yes, you're right. There were less teams, but let's for instance, as an example, you know, there's what 30 teams in the league right now, right? Is it 30?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Imagine if we dropped it to 20, right?
Yep.
Imagine how much more talented each individual team would be.
Yeah, way more. Way more now. But now we're talking about.
But what I'm saying
is,
you can't
say the same thing back then, though.
Well, there's a variety. There's political reasons we can't say it. But what I'm saying is, the people that played in the league at that time, for whoever was playing, were the creme de la creme. So yep. I have a counter a little bit that, yeah, they had less teams, but they also had less watering down. They had more players that were probably more competitive, you know, and it was probably there's some offset there. It's not just that you had less teams and they all sucked. You know, they were solid teams.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. But I think that championships definitely matter towards a player's legacy. Now, yes. It's only when it's when the stats are equivalent, right? You know, like we know the poster boy for this argument is Charles Barkley. Charles yep. Barkley never won a championship in his life. And he always gets so much crap about it from Shaq about it, you know, on TNT, right? He always just that throws it in his face. And you know, Charles Barkley takes it. He had his opportunity. He could have won one, but he just never got over the hump. But that guy was a dominant freaking player, man.
He was
a dominant. A lot of people forget how good that guy was. And it's interesting because, you know, we had that pyramid of players, you know, last week, you know, that we were talking about, you know, the most highly skilled, you know, pyramid.
Yep.
Man, he wasn't even on that list.
He was,
and that guy was freaking skilled in a lot of ways.
He was.
So, yeah, we forgot about how good Charles Barkley is, but he is definitely the poster boy for somebody who is pretty much ignored and being considered one of the greats because he doesn't have any rings.
Correct.
And but that's kind of supports my point, you know, that we're right now in a times where championships really carry a lot of weight. And so that's that, you know, and I made this analogy in the test show, but you know, if you look at like change in sports, right? You look at, you know, Steve Young only had one championship ring. You have Eli Manning, who has two championship rings. Who's the better player?
Yep. Well,
Steve Young, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Steve Young is the better
Steve
player.
Young. Oh, sorry, Manning. Steve Young, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Young's better than Eli Manning.
Yep.
Peyton Manning's better than Steve Young.
Yeah.
My point
sorry,
is.
That's why I thought I heard you said Eli, but I heard Peyton.
When you hear Manning, you're like Archie Manning.
yeah. No, Archie didn't win any.
No, but Eli Manning, and my whole point is, even though, you know, we're in a culture of championships, it's not the all, you know, the be all to support, you know, who's the better player. Because you got to talk about Robert Horry. Robert Horry, what, he has seven rings?
Yeah, Robert Horry has seven.
He's not even considered in any of these conversations just because, you know, he benefited from being on teams that were really, really good. And he just happened to be there to get the rings. Not that he wasn't bad. It's no slight on him. It's just that he wasn't the main guy on that team. And we're talking about main guys on the team.
Correct.
When we talk about your point about, you know, does rings factor into players' greatness, especially
yes.
all-time greatness, right?
But then so you look at someone like Kareem, who has six, right?
Yeah.
And yep. he gets ignored. You know, like, to me, he gets ignored. He's never discussed as potentially the top three. And you look at someone, speaking of skill and championships, Will Chamberlain. He has two championships and, you know, 100-point game, average 50 rebounds a game. I mean, again, maybe this is an era where the competition was not as stiff as it was later. But that dude was a monster in terms of statistics. And he's never even discussed, you know. You could have – I've seen top 10 lists where he's, like, close to the bottom, if not even in it.
Yeah, no, I know, man. But, you know, I think because, you know, Kareem, he's an interesting he's an interesting case with respect to these arguments about the greatest of all time. Because I think he definitely deserves to be in that conversation as the greatest of all time. It's always going to be – it's always, you know, MJ versus LeBron. That's always the argument. And
yep.
Especially now that LeBron took over Kareem's scoring title, that's even louder right now. It's MJ and LeBron. A lot of it has to do with just because these guys, you know, they have the ball in their hands. You know, they don't they can do stuff, you know, without having somebody else pass them the ball. You know, Kareem wasn't that player. The only way Kareem could do what he does is, you know, when he gets the ball to get his iconic skyhook, and once he got that ball down low, man, it was unstoppable. You could not – nobody could guard it, right?
Yep.
But then the only other way he could score is if he gets a putback, you know, from an offensive rebound, right? He can't dribble the ball and create his own shot. I mean, not on his own. That's where LeBron and Jordan, that's why they're looked at that in that regard, is because they're able to handle the ball and not wait for somebody to give him the ball, whereas Kareem does. But for as far as accolades, I mean, Kareem's right there with Jordan.
So let me just playing devil's advocate here, right? Kobe has 5 rings, was a better defensive player than LeBron. Why is Kobe never argued to be greater than LeBron?
I think it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Interesting, you know, because you know, Kobe, in my opinion, it was a crime that he didn't win more than one MVP. He should have won way more than one MVP. But, you know, I think that he just wasn't very well liked when he was in the league. He didn't have a very good reputation with the press. He just was kind of a salty guy.
Similar to Kareem.
Kareem's a very salty guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, LeBron, I would say LeBron is the most, you know, warmest personality, like a Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a very warm personality. I mean, that's where I think, you know, in your last argument, the LeBron versus the Curry era, I think Curry's way more endearing than LeBron is. LeBron is just, you know, he's there because he's so freaking good, you know, for, you know, and been in the league for so long, and is just a specimen and never really sustained a significant injury, you know, and that's the reason why he's been able to attain all of these accolades, you know, from scoring titles to assists, whatever, all these things that he's known for, is because he's had the health, the benefit of health. The guy's a specimen, right? But we're talking about, like, you know, endearing personalities. Kobe wasn't that, man. He wasn't that at all.
He was uber competitive
in his career. What was that?
He was uber competitive, expected a lot of his teammates would shut him out if they didn't play up to his standards. No, I agree. He took his craft very, very seriously.
Yep. And we all know he mimicked Jordan. We all know he mimicked Jordan. I mean, Jordan know he mimicked him, right? It was a known thing. And he even tried to talk like Jordan. He talked exactly like Jordan, the same cadence, the same rhythm. You know, that's who we looked up to. And hey, that was the right guy to look up to, because look at his career. Kobe is an all-time great, but he's not regarded as in the same conversation as LeBron.
Do you think it's just purely because of his personality?
I think that factors in a little bit, honestly, man. I mean,
but what is LeBron better at?
Has a lot of influence
than Kobe.
From a game standpoint?
Just from a career.
Passing, scoring, Kobe. The one part that Kobe's way better than LeBron at, and it's because of the desire, I think, that he has. He has more of that edge. Is defense. That's where Kobe, I think, is way better than LeBron. Now LeBron could be that guy, but he was like that more early in his career, because defense takes a lot of energy, man. It does. Yeah. To be a really good defensive player, to be a really good two-way player, you have to be in tremendous shape, man, because it takes up a lot of the energy to react to what's going on the offensive side. It just does, man. You know, when I was playing, man, defense was a pain in the ass. I could play it, but, man, it gets tiring, man. I way prefer doing the offense more, and that's where, you know, Russell Westbrook is one of these guys. When he was out in college, he was more known as a defensive player, but when he came in the NBA, man, he became this – he flip-flopped, man. He went right to offense and forgot about defense. But he had it in his DNA to be a defensive, but it just takes a lot of energy, man.
Historically, you look at, you know, Draymond Green, you know, focuses all his energy on defense and is very minimal offensive player. Dennis Rodman Dennis Rodman was historically a very good defensive player, then decided to focus primarily on rebounding, but offensively was minimal. I mean, a lot of these guys that are defense-heavy and stick with defense throughout their career, their offensive numbers are – not as good, with exceptions like Kawhi. You know, Kawhi was a guy that played a lot of defense, but has become a very, very, very good offensive player. But no, I hear you. But that's my counter, though. I mean, you know, I would say that being great at defense can offset some of those things in assist numbers, in, you know, potentially scoring numbers. I mean, it's such a matrix, you know. And that's why when I look at Jordan, you know, as much as I kind of raise my flag for Kareem, you know, Jordan was defensive player of the year. He was MVP of the year. I mean, he did everything he could. You know, he wasn't a fantastic shooter early in his career and became a much better shooter. he transitioned from being attacking the rim to playing perimeter. You know, he extended his career. He did everything he needed to do as a player. And so when I look at him, that's where I see his greatness, right? He evolved. He changed. He did things differently. He put effort on defense. You know, he stayed with one team, you know, for the most part. Yeah. And so when I look at LeBron, there's just a lot of things that are exceptions to that. You know, LeBron, to some extent, went championship shopping, you know, early in his career. He was trying to put teams together. You know, LeBron, you know, I probably get everyone in an uproar, but he likes to flop all the time. He doesn't want to play defense. You know, you touch him and he falls over as though he got hit by a tornado. And you know, you see it and you're like, come on, LeBron, you're better than this.
And he's always arguing for calls, man. Always, man. He's always doing this, always like this to the refs, man. It's like, oh, he's just so annoying sometimes, man.
Correct.
But he's so freaking good, though. He's so freaking good.
No, he is
so
good.
Freaking good.
He is good, but there's a combination of good and his size. You know,
he's a huge guy. Yeah,
he's a large human being.
Yeah,
you know, even in the NBA world. Yeah,
absolutely, man. Dude, it's a good topic, man. I mean, this was a good discussion. It's a great show, man. I mean, we're pretty much out of time here, man.
But,
we had a great show here, Tuan. You know, we talked about the playoffs. You know, unfortunately, I think one of my brackets is completely just thrashed because the Warriors are just they checked out, man. They're done.
Yeah.
So sorry to bring that news to you guys.
But yeah.
Anyway, so we talked about the playoffs. We talked about, you know, the fantasy the segment where we talked about, oh, if we were a GM, what players would we pick to win now and for the next 5 years, and the two bench players. We talked about that, and then we talked about, you know, the LeBron era versus the Curry era. There's arguments to be made for both. There's, you know, Tuan brought up some good points as to why we should consider Curry, you know, in this era as an equal to LeBron. I'm arguing that it's both. They're both. Yeah. This is going to be defined as the Curry LeBron era, in my opinion. And then we talked about how much Stu brings factor in the greatness of an all-time great. So this is a great show, man. This is Buzzer Beaters for a property of grumblingsmedia.com. You can find this podcast, which is, you know, specifically about the NBA, mainly about basketball, but mostly about NBA. You can find it on Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Grumblings Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, and Apple. Tuan, dude, it was a great show, bro. Again, looking forward to doing our next segment, and we got to think about, you know, how we're going to defend these teams that we pick, man. We're going to talk about this in the next couple weeks, man. That's going to be tough, though, man.
But I want to see if we can do it.
I'm saying we could probably pick a team that could stop them for 2 years, and that's that, man.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, right on, brother. All right, man. Hey, good night, everybody, and please give us some feedback. We love that. We encourage it. So thanks for listening, and until next week.